to find in the morning papers is hard to find in the magazine. Doesn't matter what show you tune in, it's hard to find on the TV screen. But it's on the radio. Truth is on the radio. Talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers. AMFM Shortwave Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. We'll be live with you from the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network. Hey, excuse me, I had to wince there. Threw my back out of place. So every once in a while, if you hear me make a sound here, it's not because I've developed Tourette's syndrome. It's because I'm wincing in pain. At any rate, it is the 7th day of March, and 2006 is the year. On today's program, we're going to have Dr. Doug Roeke and Carl Schwartz on, and we're going to be talking about depleted uranium. Folks, remember, all these illnesses. We were told that the members of our Gulf veterans coming back, well, they were victims of vaccinations. Well, vaccinations, yes, but coming home and opening up your duffel bag, settling in for a leave or whatever, if you're rotating out of Iraq, it doesn't kill your parakeet or your dogs or your cats or make your family sick. That's something that always bothered me about this vaccine story. I do believe it was a hoax, and it was perpetrated by those that wanted to draw attention away from the real enemy, and that was depleted uranium. There's been a mini-nuclear war going on over there. Now, Dr. Doug Roeke, he's the former head of the Pentagon's Depleted Uranium Project at the National Vietnam and Gulf War Veterans Coalition. He's the director of Edwin R. Bradley Radiological Laboratories, Fort McClellan, Alabama. Directed in the development, instruction, and assessment of radiation safety education and field procedures for the U.S. Army, and taught radiation safety courses. He was a staff physicist at the University of Illinois, Department of Chemistry, Department of Physics, Department of Food Science, Department of Electrical Engineering, and Department of Agricultural Engineering. He's a project director for the U.S. Army Chemical School in Fort McClellan. Completed research and wrote low-level radiation safety procedures and education guidelines for the U.S. Department of Defense. Taught radiation, and again, taught radiation safety courses there. Nuclear Medical Sciences Officer, Executive Officer, Training Officer, Mobilization Officer, Medical Team Leader, Laboratory Director, Depleted Uranium Project Director, Medical and Hazardous Materials Instruction, Avionics, U.S. Army, U.S. Army Reserve, and U.S. Army National Guard. And also for the United States Air Force. And his responsibilities there were included planning, conducting, and evaluating medical operations and medical education for the U.S. medical units and personnel. Funny thing happened on the way to the war, folks. Remember these embeds that were there during Gulf War Part 2? Well, I saw some of their situation boards. And one of the things that the embeds, and that's pronounced embed, E-M-B-E-D, and it was actually embed, I-N-B-E-D. One of the things on that list, they were not to ask any questions about depleted uranium, which told me right then and there, and this came out of When News Lies, Danny Schechter, his Weapons of Mass Deception DVD that came with his book. I saw it for myself. Reporters were carefully guided and shepherded over there and then given a no-no list of questions not to ask. Well, we'll be discussing some of those questions that weren't allowed to be asked, and we'll start this off right after this break with my guest today, Dr. Doug Roeke and Carl Schwartz. We'll be right back.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Joining us also is Carl Schwartz, author of One-Way Ticket to Crawford, Texas, and quite the innovative man himself with the nanotechnologies, up-and-coming 21st century technologies. And, of course, it didn't probably help matters too much when he got really ticked off and decided that he wanted to make a bid for presidency because, obviously, nobody even understands simple business practices in Washington, D.C. But that has come to an end. He's not running for president, and I think, personally, he'd do more damage not running for president because you got to be on their selected ring knocker list to become prez of this country. After all, look what has happened to Bill Clinton and Senior Bush. They're now good buds and pals, and I thought they were so ideologically opposed. But now they have their favorite son in there, GW, trying to finish out what the neocons have started. But that's another story. Tying into the depleted uranium, let me bring up Dr. Roki first. Good afternoon, Doctor.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. Carl, are you with me?
I am here.
Carl Schwartz is also here. Gentlemen, we've got a little problem. It's called depleted uranium. And as I said at the top of the program, that was on the don't ask, don't tell list, I guess you could call it, over there in the Gulf area of operations. And this is a much more serious problem than anybody is admitting to.
That's absolutely correct, and it goes back for many, many years. Uranium munitions or depleted uranium munitions, there's a whole host of them. They're an extremely effective combat tool, a combat weapon. When you use them, they literally kill and destroy everything in its path. They're extremely effective against all targets. That includes armor, tanks, etc., conventional cars and trucks, houses, apartment buildings, water treatment facilities, sanitation facilities, sewage sanitation facilities, sandbag bunkers, wooden structures. They're the weapon of choice if you're going to go to war to kill and destroy.
Well, they are effective. Now, they also use these. Do they use these in other munitions as well?
Yes. We do know from our work and the research, and I actually developed some of these munitions for the Army, did the testing on them. We have them in kinetic energy penetrators. That's from machine gun size, and specifically the 50 caliber machine gun. Mr. Barrett, who manufactures the 50 caliber machine gun, has bragged in his promotional literature about how effective the DU 50 cal DU round is in his bullet and his gun. And then we have the 20 millimeter round fired in the Navy, the 25 millimeter round fired in the Bradley fighting vehicle, 30 millimeter round fired by the A-10 U.S. Air Force Warthog. Then we have 105 millimeter, 120 millimeter round. Those are kinetic energy penetrators. Then we have the ATEM and the PETEM. These are both cluster bombs, landmines. And what they are is uranium shell filled with high explosive. And then we have all the bunker busters.
Well, generally speaking, aren't landmines used for soft target like personnel? Why would they be interested in depleted uranium in those munitions?
Well, an ATEM and a PETEM, both of them are specifically designed for personnel, use against personnel. And what it is this high explosive thing that causes absolutely horrifying shrapnel wounds and everything else. Because when it's set off, the uranium catches fire. It's moving at extremely high velocity. And all the explosives, the fuel, and everything else the soldiers carry in, the, you know, grenades and everything, they just go up in catastrophic explosions. So it's, two incredible, incredible things. They're America's perfect dirty bomb. Well, uranium casing filled with high explosive.
Well, and I want to get my mind wrapped around this. Now, we've had two forays into the Gulf.
Correct.
And we've also had Afghanistan. I don't
and
like...
And the Balkans.
And the Balkans.
And Bosnia, yes.
And Somalia.
And Somalia also. But I want to paint a proper picture for the listeners out there. How much of this depleted uranium, for instance, has been expended in Afghanistan and Iraq for both of their forays over there?
Well, let's go back in time. The first time that we've actually thoroughly confirmed the use of uranium munitions in wartime was when the United States provided to Israel in 1973 for the Arab-Israeli War. On-site investigations, wreckage, investigations, medical evidence has absolutely verified that both U.S. and NATO personnel and everybody else was exposed and sick. Then we went to the Gulf War I, where we used approximately 375 tons of solid uranium. This doesn't include the explosives or other parts of it, 375 tons of solid uranium. Followed in 94 and 95 in the Balkans with approximately 30 to 35 tons. We also hit it in Okinawa in 95 and 96. And then back in 93, we were going to use it in Somalia, but the actual DU team for the Army, which I was became the DU project director, got that stopped. Then we went and used it in the Balkans, approximately 30 to 35 tons in 99, and continued to use it. Then we went into Gulf War II, which, again, you have to understand, we started planning in 1995 for the Army. And in between Afghanistan and Gulf War II, with the use of all the types of munitions, probably over 2,000 tons in Iraq and probably over 1,000 tons in Afghanistan. My team members have absolutely gone into Afghanistan, confirmed it, also into Iraq. And so it continues as we speak, and now the Army has just ordered $38 million more of it from the plant up at Minnesota and Minneapolis area for probable use in Iran.
Well, and that was going to be my next subject. It looks like we've got the run-up for the Iranian excuse to go into Iran now. And this might be a little off-subject, but I want to ask you this before we continue. We're saying that Iran is building these nuclear power plants to enrich uranium and which to build bombs. Now, as I look at the grand chessboard here in the Middle East, if you will, I see Israel with up to 400 nuclear weapons of every imaginable delivery device, submarines.
And uranium munitions, extensive amounts.
And uranium munitions as well as the DU. And then I see the Arab countries, which is on the hit list of the Israelis. They would like to see them all gone. I was fascinated a couple of weeks ago when the president of Iran said that Israel should not be. And they caused an absolute uproar in the press. And, of course, all the associated people, the lovers and protectors of Israel over there. I think this is a bad thing for the United States to be doing, especially what the Israelis are doing to the Palestinians. That aside, we've got a situation where we've got a country over there with 400 nuclear weapons. These guys want to build a couple of nuclear bombs, obviously for defensive purposes. And I can see nothing wrong with that, Mr. Roki. What's your feelings on it?
Well, the United States has continued to build and utilize nuclear weapons. We are continuously building and researching on what we call mini nukes for definite use. And the theory and the background, both the United States and England, is that we will have the first strike with nuclear weapons.
Now,
and that is the official policy now, and we're developing not only the mini nukes, but also, you know, reconstituting our larger nukes. So that's just a given fact.
Well, I've been watching C-SPAN here the last couple of days, and I've been watching the head of NATO, the NATO commander. His name escapes me right now, but they're planning major, major upscaling of operations in the Middle East. And they're saying right now, I haven't got all the details, but they're saying NATO is going to be taking on new responsibilities, they did say, for preemptive war. You were in the military.
Still am. No, I'm just retired.
You're just recently retired?
Yeah, I came in 1967 and went on the official formal retirement list a couple of years ago, but still subject to recall, and I've actually received notification that I could be recalled, and I'm subject to recall until the age of 70 because of my expertise.
Well, and but didn't you develop some health problems around exposure to depleted uranium?
Immediately. Back in 1991, with the completion of the ground war, I was specifically ordered and assigned by the Pentagon, who ordered General Schwarzkopf to find me and order me to clean up the mess and do all the development, and we did. And myself and the other team members, we all started getting sick within 24 to 48 hours. And in fact, I'm still recovering from the last round of surgery.
How
as a consequence of verified exposures and verified consequences.
Is this just a sloppy review of records, or are they in flat denial that you were even exposed and subsequently became sick?
Well, it's a combination of both. Since after I did all the research, wrote all the reports, and wrote the Army regulations, which are mandatory today, which require thorough environmental remediation of all uranium munitions contamination and all medical care. Once I wrote that and went public because they failed to comply with their own requirements, they're in simple total denial that myself, my team, did any of this work, that we exist, and that any of us are sick. Again, this all comes down to a memorandum that I received from the command chain in March of 1991. That was written by Lieutenant Colonel Michael Zeem, United States Marine Corps, from Los Alamos Nuclear Weapons Lab, and that ordered us to lie about all adverse health and environmental effects of uranium munitions in order to sustain the use, uninterrupted use of uranium munitions by the U.S. military and its allies forever and ever and ever.
And what was the reasoning behind that bit of wisdom?
Well, because they're so extremely effective. I mean, you have to understand the uranium weapons, and having done the analysis after Gulf War I, cleaned it all up and then did the research in the Nevada test site for the Army, these are the best. They're the silver bullet. They are the bread and butter of killing and destroying, whether it's humans, whether it's animals, whether it's armor, or whether it's car and truck, or, you know, as we've seen now and video absolutely confirms, civilian houses and apartment buildings.
Now, these things will blow a hole through anything, John.
Oh, incredible.
I mean anything.
Well,
they're just incredible.
And I want to further explore as many tons of this. And do you actually have a number that was expended in Gulf War I and Gulf War Part II in Afghanistan and Iraq? Do you have a total tonnage
number? Well, yeah,
number?
We absolutely know in Gulf War I there was over 375 tons, and that's from firsthand experience and discussing the and working with the actual cleanup. And in Gulf War II, back it's almost 3 years ago now, the Army had confirmed 500 tons 3 years ago.
So we're talking almost 900 tons. Now, after the break, I want to get into what happens to this stuff after it's expended. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back. Doug, I want to get a further explanation here as to what happens with this depleted uranium once it's used in the field. And Iraq and Afghanistan, it's a pretty desert region of the planet. And there's a lot of sandstorms, a lot of wind over there. There's not a whole lot for this depleted uranium to absorb into or hang on to. What happens to this stuff in the environment once it's expended? What happens?
Well, again, we have two different types. Let's talk about the kinetic energy penetrators. Again, these are gigantic solid rods of uranium. The Bradley fighting vehicle fires a 25-millimeter DU round. Each individual round is over 1/2 pound of solid uranium. The A-10 Warthog aircraft fires a round where each individual round is over 3/4 pound of solid uranium. And it fires at a ratio of 4,000 rounds per minute. That is 1.5 tons of solid uranium on target per minute. The Abrams tank fires around were slightly over 10 pounds each per solid uranium per round. And then obviously we have the 8M and the PDM, we have the bunker busters, and we have the 50 cal machine gun and everything else. Now, what happens with the kinetic energy penetrator? The round is fired out of the gun and the tube, as we call it. The minute it leaves the tube muzzle, it's on fire. The uranium is on fire. And it's flying through the air with uranium being shed all the way along the route or that until impact.
At a temperature of approaching 3,000 degrees.
Yeah, I mean, the temperature is really not even relevant because it's just all coming off. And then on impact, at least 40% of the mass, so that's for a 10-pound round, at least 4 pounds, flakes off in what we call spalling. Now, that spalling, some of it is on fire. Solid uranium is on fire. Others is not on fire, so it's just uranium flying at extremely high velocity. And we have oxides being formed. And what happens is we have a catastrophic shower of burning fragments of uranium, uranium that's not burning, moving at extremely high velocity, and causes catastrophic secondary explosions due to ignition or concussion. Now, what happens, and we know from firsthand research, firsthand cleanup during Gulf War I, and then research when I was director of the U.S. Army DU project, we did extensive research in the Nevada test site, Mercury, Nevada. We absolutely know that the uranium that released contaminates an area 50 meters in radius, that's a little over 160 feet in radius from every single incident, so great that the U.S. Army absolutely mandates that everybody comes within that radius area wear full respiratory and skin protection. We also know that on impact with any military target, which has, you know, all kinds of explosives and fuels, that this stuff is a catastrophic disaster. Some of the explosives go off. A lot of the explosives don't. And all you have to do is breathe wrong or hold your tongue wrong, and it blows up. That's why three of my guys got killed before we even left Iraq in Gulf War II. From trying to do that work, they were totally blown up. And so we have that. We know from firsthand research that the stuff is resuspended, and it can travel. Measurements in a travel, we measured, confirmed, out to 400 meters radius. That's over 1,200 feet from a single incident. And we know from the work where it happened up at the National Lead Site, and this is in near Albany, New York, that the U.S. Navy at their nuclear site some 30 miles away measured sufficient quantities of uranium dust coming from the manufacturing plant at 30 miles away to cause adverse health effects. Now, this stuff just doesn't hop, skip, and jump. It, you know, goes the whole area. We know today from the use in Gulf War I that it's never been cleaned up, even though it's absolutely mandatory that it's done by U.S. Army regulations and federal law and international law. And this stuff is resuspended and travels all over the place. So what we have is solid radioactive materials from uranium weapons consisting of uranium-235, uranium-234, primarily uranium-238, plutonium, neptunium, americium, and uranium-236, causing serious air, water, and soil contamination throughout the entire region. The Balkans, Afghanistan, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Indiana, Massachusetts, Puerto Rico,
Fort
Okinawa.
down your way, John, Fort Hood, Texas.
Yeah, Fort Hood, Texas. And we just go on and on and on. And also, we just had recent thorough confirmation, Honolulu, Hawaii, Schofield Barracks.
Now, if there were almost 900 tons of this depleted uranium that was expended in the Middle East in both of the Gulf Wars.
No, we're way over that. We have 375 tons in Gulf War I alone, 500 tons confirmed by the Army to me 3 years ago, and it's continued to be used, and it is still used on a daily basis as actual live video and photographs and on-site measurements confirm. We're looking at probably upwards of 2,000 tons in Iraq and 1,000 tons in Afghanistan.
Total expenditure, John, is probably close to 4,000 tons in all the deployment zones. And if you go back and look at how much they've dropped on practice ranges, you could probably increase that by 50 to 70%.
A lot was done. You know, a lot was done at Schofield Barracks in Honolulu, Hawaii, and all other different locations.
Well, these soldiers, to say nothing about the civilian populations that we've been peppering for how many years with this stuff. I have seen some of the photographic evidence of all the birth defects of the children now in Afghanistan and Iraq. I can't imagine what's going to happen to our soldiers. And when we get back, I'd like to ask you, Doug, what is the Army and specifically the Veterans Administration doing for these contaminated soldiers?
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
We remember the stories of the Vietnam era with Dow Chemical's defoliant, Agent Orange, and how the government was in denial that any health problems arose with military personnel and civilian contamination and poisoning and the environment and everything else. Doug, what is the military right now? What's the status for soldiers that are being sickened by this depleted uranium? What are they saying? Anything?
They're abandoned. It's that simple. Back in 1991, as U.S. Army health physicist in charge, I issued the order mandating immediate medical care for everybody that had been exposed to uranium munitions. That's during an impact, during recovery or work operations around contaminated areas, or anybody that was downwind of any of this contamination, anything that was used. The theater medical commander for the 3rd United States Army Central Command issued an order in June of 1991 mandating that was ignored. Those orders have been reissued many, many times. General Eric Shinseki, who was a commanding general of all U.S. military, the U.S. Army military forces, the top four-star, himself personally issued the order mandating medical care, thorough environmental remediation, education, and training in August of 1993. In October of 1993, the U.S. was going to use uranium munitions in Somalia. We got that stopped. However, we did get the medical directive issued for medical management of uranium exposures by the Pentagon, by the U.S. Department of Defense, I mean, i.e. the SecDef, mandating medical care within 24 hours of initial exposure for anybody in all those criteria. In March of 1993, however, the U.S. Army at Bethesda had issued a directive to leave the uranium shrapnel and uranium in place in those already wounded to find out what the chemical toxicity was and the radiological toxicity. And that happened. The most recent order, and these have been done over and over again through my insistence and my team's assistance as the U.S. Army's experts, mandates medical management of DU-exposed personnel. That was signed in 29 April of 2004 by then the U.S. Army Surgeon General, Lieutenant General Ronald Peake, P-E-A-K-E. That absolutely mandates medical care for everybody that's exposed in the U.S. military. And you have to understand, when we issued directives requiring medical care for all U.S. military, we must have the same medical care for all coalition. And under Geneva Convention and international laws, must provide that same medical care not only to all enemy personnel, but all non-combatants, whether they're over here in Jefferson Proving Ground, Indiana, at Concord, Massachusetts, where our nation was born, and it's a medical disaster from uranium, or throughout the Middle East. And they're not doing it. They're just not doing it. The U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs has been required to provide uranium testing and medical care for many, many years at our insistence. In Gulf, U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs Gulf War Review, Volume 13, Number 1, which is now approximately 1 year old, they confirmed that in 14 years that it only tested 270 people, and they're not following any of those today because I'm in that, and the last time they had me up there was in March of 1999.
You know, one of the things they're trying to avoid, Doug, is the establishing a paper trail to where they're actually showing the liability in criminal conduct here.
Well, that was a conscious decision and a conscious choice by the Surgeon General during the Gulf War, General Block, Lieutenant General Block, Ronald Block.
Over in Landstuhl, Germany, the doctors and nurses were told if they found depleted uranium in any of the blood samples, just take the blood, freeze it, and they'll get back to that soldier in 2 or 3 years. They weren't even putting it on their medical record. It was recently as 2003.
They're not to this day. I've talked to soldiers who were confirmed exposed with 101st Airborne out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And you have to understand, I personally briefed, as a senior Army officer, the commanding general for the 101st and each one of the brigade commanders at Fort Polk, Louisiana, before they were deployed.
They're not doing it.
They're just not doing it.
We've got an affiliate that just left Bahrain about a week ago. They're down there testing some of the U.S. soldiers at our naval base down there and also some of the Bahraini citizens. And over 80% of the people in Bahrain, John and Doug, tested positive for DU. So as far away as Bahrain, you know, this has managed to get out and move over. And I think that confirms the Outer Master report where, you know, they detected it as far away as United Kingdom.
Well, I just saw some information the other day. On lung cancers alone, at the turn of last century, about 6% of the population suffered from various cancers. Today, we have over 25% of the population just here in America suffering from different forms of cancer, including lung cancers. And I'm wondering, you know, aside from the chemicals, better living through chemistry and, you know, technology, we've been contaminating ourselves and our environment, soil, air, with a lot of different things.
Well, we're on that trail. That's what I wanted to talk about. So, you know, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that there has been a marked increase, and there's different, and you first brought this to my attention, Carl. About England and how they have a fourfold increase in the detectors over there for radiation. If they've been expending, say, let's mark it at 2,000 tons, say it was expended in Afghanistan and Iraq, soon to be Iran, I'm sure, so far, and then also Bosnia, other operations, military operations around the planet. How significant, I know this is a guess, but how significant is this poisoning, and how significant are the numbers that's causing a rise in cancers?
Well, it's actually three things, but go ahead, Doug, and then I'll finish it up.
Yeah, I think what we need to understand is the adverse health effects from the use of uranium emissions and the exposure are far more than cancer. We have a combined chemical toxicity. This is like lead paint dust. Nobody would eat that or get it into your body or drink contaminated water or move around contaminated soil. Then we also have the particulate irritation because of the size of the particles. And that's the first thing that got us and got everybody. Then you have the radiological toxicity. Now, the first things that we saw on our team and what I have confirmed in individuals from Gulf War I all over the place and now recently coming back with Gulf War II, the first thing we saw was the respiratory illnesses and diseases, and this has been known since 1943. We saw the rashes, and the rashes on mine has never gone away, absolutely confirmed by the VA, and I got a disability for it, same with the respiratory. Then we saw the neurological problems. Then we started seeing the cancers. The first cancer in our team member happened within about 9 months of return. It was a throat cancer, and most astonishing, one of the heroes of the 442nd New York Military Police Unit. Now, these are New York police officers that went into the World Trade Center. They got recalled to active duty, and one of those guys had cancer surgery on February 28th. That's almost a week ago today, for exactly the same tumor that had developed in 9 months and part of my team members. Then we had the first lung cancers within 2 years, the first death shortly thereafter, and has continued. The latest one I had, absolute confirmed death on one of my team members from lung cancer, was last summer. And it continues. And then we had all the gastrointestinal problems, the teeth, because the uranium replaces calcium and all the other immune systems, the teeth just fracture and break off. And then we have the radiation cataracts, which I just literally had surgery to remove those because, and again, it's affecting everything. So it's a whole host of adverse health effects because you have chemical toxicity, you have radiological toxicity, you have particulate irritation, and it's spread through inhalation by the air, absorption into the skin, which happened to all of us, transfer of the water and air and soil contamination. And so you got ingestion, and then obviously you got all the wounds and all the shrapnel wounds and any cut and wound that this stuff gets into.
And Carl, you were going to say something. You had something to add to this.
Well, the three types of poisoning. I mean, the heavy metal poisoning is bad enough. You know, the effects of that, it's just like lead poisoning, but worse. And the radiological poisoning, they know that's causing cancers. But the size of a particle, that's what we're learning in nanotechnology. Even the size of something can be lethal. There was a test done at the National Center for Toxicological Research down in Jefferson, Arkansas, where they took a nanofiber of, something as benign as cotton and put it under the skin of a mouse, lab mouse, and it formed a malignant tumor. And what they're finding, and Doug, this is just fresh information coming right out of Bosnia. They tested some people that from Italy that were in Bosnia, and they started finding these little nanoparticulates, but they weren't uranium. This was actually iron silica, copper, chlorine, zinc, silica, titanium, iron, aluminum. There's a whole list of them here of about 9 or 10 different nanoparticles they found. And because of the shape, they were spherical. They were hollow in the larger sizes. The scientists could tell that these things were formed at about 3,000 degrees due to the impact of a depleted uranium weapon. There's nothing naturally occurring in nature that would make something like this.
One of the things that we do know,
these small particles in and of themselves can do tremendous damage to the human body.
One of the things that we learned from firsthand experience, and you have to understand, when I was assigned by the Army to do this in 91 and when we did all the research at the United States Department of Energy's premier site, Nevada Test Site, Mercury, Nevada, we had respiratory and skin protection. The particulates that are generated are so small that it went through all known respiratory protection that was available and issued by either the U.S. Army or the U.S. Department of Energy. And we could taste and smell that. And that's one of the ways I confirm it today with people that have been exposed. I just have to ask them. And I don't tell what it is because I want confirmation, firsthand confirmation. So it went right through everything. And that's why we became contaminated and so hot. There is no effective respiratory and skin protection. There is no effective medical care once you're trashed. Although the U.S. Army regulations that I wrote, which were formally adopted, and we did this based on extensive research, require immediate thorough environmental remediation, all you're really doing is mitigating some of the effects. You're not really cleaning it up. So it's just an absolutely catastrophic disaster. And as the Army's former expert, and as it says in the officer evaluation report, says Dr. Rocky, Captain Rocky, serves as a subject matter expert on the use of uranium munitions on the battlefield. I had to reach a conclusion that, first off, you know, we had to clean up everything, provide medical care, but we could never use it again because it's just catastrophic. And that's despite being a warrior that knows the need for effective weapons.
There is other things that, and I'm reading what you had sent me here on the medical management. And it's just not the depleted uranium. We're talking, of course, about radiological materials, but we're talking about hazardous materials, pesticides,
everything,
the immunizations, even up to and including the oil fires and all the petroleum that kind of went up in smoke over there. This has got to be, and there are no news stories whatsoever about this. How have they been able to put a lid on all of this?
Well, it's real simple, and this goes back to day one. And I did participate in this when I was the director for the U.S. Army, and also did the U.S. Army Environmental Policy Institute report, worked on that project along with everything else. The weapon was so effective that we always wanted to continue to use the weapon. And whenever anybody or media or story or writer, investigative reporter, journalist or TV reporter, whatever, he would ask the question, what would happen is Pentagon officials would then send out their misinformation, incomplete information, and just lie as required by the Los Alamos memorandum and also as required by the December of 1992 U.S. Army Environmental Policy Institute directive. It's just that simple. Even up to the White House and the State Department, what they have said, and you can pull this up in the State Department, they say all the health, environmental effects, and warnings are propaganda issued by the enemy. What they don't tell you is the warnings and the health effects and everything are actually issued by those of us that served as U.S. Army's U.S. Department of Defense's experts. It's that simple. We have to go. The directive is to lie and write reports such that you always sustain the use of uranium munitions by complete advocacy and avoid all liability. And they're going to continue without hesitation.
This theater of operations, it looks like it's going to expand. I don't see any slowdown here. I've been watching Fox News intently for the last 3 to 4 days, and they have been the cheerleaders with other news medias, of course, like CNN, MSNBC. It doesn't matter. But Fox has always been in the forefront. And what is appalling to me is just the reasons and excuses for going into Iraq with no reporting whatsoever, no counterpoints, no follow-up questioning, nothing in depth. It is as if they are reading a script and they're following the script. Doug, is there anything that you see out there? I mean, we're talking about something that we have no idea how this is going to turn out, what the end game scenario is going to be, how many people are going to end up dead, affected for the rest of their life, birth defects, you name it. There's going to be a major fallout over here, no pun intended. But I can see just something that is so catastrophic here. And I've done stories on the Veterans Administration before and how badly they're taking care of our servicemen. I see the USA Today story yesterday. We've had 8,000 deserters from the Gulf War. 8,000. I can't ever remember the numbers being so high. These guys are being rotated back in again and again and again. I see a Zogby poll that was just conducted. And this is amazing. The Zogby International, they polled 944 American soldiers and Marines in Iraq and found that nearly three-quarters of them thought the U.S. should exit within a year. More than half of them thought they should get out of there in 6 months. And almost 30% of them said the U.S. should leave immediately. Now this guy that did this poll, the communications director, Fritz Wenzel, said that in 48 hours following that release of that poll result, He said it's the busiest days I've had ever in this job with over 50 reporters contacting him for interviews. But he said, oddly enough, the busiest day of calling didn't produce much in the way of stories. Nothing counter to what is going on over there is coming out in the medias at all. It is the most insane, controlled situation I have ever seen.
Yeah, they've got the lid on. They've got the lid on. They have to keep it on because there are some huge liabilities here, not just to the U.S. people, but also foreigners. I mean, we're in direct contact with the people in the Bulgaria, Ukraine, Hungary, Italy. They're all suffering from this, also in Canada.
One thing that we need to look, let's look at the real casualty data. The United States Department of Veteran Affairs publishes their actual casualty data.
I'll tell you what, Doug, if you could, we're just going into break, and I know this is important information, and I don't want you to hurry with this, and I'm running up against a hard break here. 800-313-9443. We'll take phone calls into the next hour. 800-313-9443. My guest today, Dr. Doug Roeke, and, of course, my friend Carl Schwartz, author of One Way Ticket to Crawford, Texas, ladies and gentlemen. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
We have some lines open. You may want to get on board. We're talking today with Dr. Doug Roeke and also Carl Schwartz. And we're talking about depleted uranium. Now, you were making some points right before we went to break, and I'd ask you to hold that thought so you can have a few minutes here to explain your point. Go ahead, Doug.
The United States Department of Veteran Affairs and their Gulf War Veterans Information System, this is the actual casualty data report that identifies and specifies all known casualties that have sought medical care through U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. This data is cumulative from August of 1990, or actually before August of 1990, through the end of November of 2005. The report was published on December 28th of 2005. So this is current data, and it's published by the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. What this does in this report, it specifies and tells us what the actual casualty data is. The United States Department of Veteran Affairs has specified that since August of 1990 through November of 2005, 1,129,339 of America's sons and daughters had been deployed into the Persian Gulf. That's Gulf War I through the present. Out of that, little over 1.1 million, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs estimates that there are still only 933,190 individuals left alive. That's over 100,000 have died in 15 years. Out of that 933,190 that are still alive, 368,923 of America's sons and daughters have filed claims for permanent disability, permanent pensions, and permanent medical care as a result of illnesses, injuries, and wounds incurred during military duty in the Persian Gulf. 368,923. This does not include thousands upon thousands that received direct disability and pensions from the U.S. military. This is only for those out of the VA. That's an astonishing number,
yes,
and I am included in that number.
And John, the amazing thing about this is a lot of the people on that list and the numbers that Doug just read off would not be there had they gotten medical treatment as they're required.
As is required.
Yeah, a lot of these people have been exposed to types of heavy metal poisoning and this depleted uranium stuff. If you don't do anything to take it out of your system, sooner or later it will bite you. And a lot of these people have been bit, they're totally disabled, or they're no longer with us.
Well, one thing that we do know, okay, you know, out of the individuals that served in the Persian Gulf Gulf War I, that's Desert Storm, that was from August of 1990 through the fall of 1991. As of today, over 256,481, that's way over 30%, have filed claims for permanent disability. And the astonishing thing is when we look at the data and the numbers, and I've tracked this now for many, many years because, you know, I was ordered to clean it up and do all the teaching and training and medical care. We have well over 100,000 that have just well over 120,000 in the last since 2003.
That's true.
I mean, it's absolutely astonishing numbers, and it continues to grow on a daily basis.
All right, we got to take this break here. We'll come back. 800-313-9443. Want to get online, ask some questions, folks. I'm wondering how many health problems are going to be experienced just by the civilian population here in this country from all this depleted uranium blowing around the earth. It's something to consider. But what of our soldiers? And they have no plans in getting out of there. We're not just talking about our soldiers. We're talking about also innocent lives, supposedly, that we're over there handing them democracy. First we deconstruct, and then we reconstruct. And there's talk of civil war over there. Well, it is going on, folks. We've got ourselves in a situation that the way it looks to me, it's 10 times worse than Vietnam. We'll be right back. Hang on.
Most Americans want our government to control our borders, especially since 9/11. But amazingly, some political leaders want to do away with borders entirely, whether the American people agree or not. And they have a serious plan for accomplishing their aims while deceiving the public. It's called the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA, a huge power grab. If Congress approves the FTAA, our nation will be pushed down the same path that produced the European Union. There will be no more illegal immigration because there will be no enforcement of borders. Americans will lose control of their destiny as regional bureaucrats from corrupt political systems decide our future. Sound incredible? Check out the facts for yourself. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then tell Congress you want a better future for America. That's stoptheftaa.org.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.